President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And I would like to give a couple of shout-outs here in a moment, but before I do that, I want to give you a brief recap of last night's show. Those that missed the broadcast last night, we were listening to a speech given in Idaho in 1995 by Phil Schneider. Phil was a U.S. Geologist and a construction engineer, we can say. He was responsible for opening large cavities in the earth for the building of underground bases and tunnel systems. Now, the audio is a bit less than par, especially given the advances that we have now in the year 2008. And today being March the 6th on the East Coast and March the 5th on the West Coast, the date 2008 has a lot of significance in terms of the technology differences between today and the time that this recording was made. It was obviously made on a home camcorder, duplicated on a VHS tape, and eventually converted to DVD. So there is an original lack of quality in the recording because of the inferior equipment, but it's the best that we can do. What is important here is not necessarily the quality of the audio, but the quality of the message that Mr. Schneider brought forth. He talked about the Dulce base in New Mexico. He talked about a firefight that occurred in 1979 as he was blasting the rocks going down and with the intention of expanding the base. What came to light was that there were some large gray aliens, and he had basically entered a nest of the aliens. In another speech, he describes how he had lowered cameras into the crevices of the rocks, which he had been able to blast away, and the camera kept coming up damaged or totally missing. They tried several attempts to lower a camera down into the blasting area to see what it looked like. And obviously they had been entering a nest of these, and Phil Schneider actually referred to it on another recording as a nest of gray aliens. Back last year, in June of 2007, I had called into Coast to Coast, and I related this story, and it bears repeating again. The show was the 50-year anniversary of host George Norrie, who took over for Art Bell. His guest that evening was Linda Moulton Howe, who has reported numerous times on cattle mutilations and other such anomalies, both perpetrated by aliens as well as black ops officers. Whenever there would be one of these cattle mutilations, there would be a black helicopter scene in the vicinity, and on occasion harassing witnesses, threatening witnesses, and maybe even abducting some of the witnesses. Ms. Howe, in her earnest assessment, decided that this would be very difficult to prove that this base existed, despite the fact that I referred to Phil Schneider's revelations, especially about the firefight that occurred where 66 of the Delta Force, or we could call them Black Berets at the time, they were referred by both names, 66 of these individuals were killed in the firefight. Now, how did they just arrive on the scene? One would presume that Phil Schneider was basically baited into blasting this opening so that they could go down there and try to take out these Grays. 66 of these men fought valiantly but lost their lives. And Phil Schneider also described two other individuals having survived. So there were three individuals out of the total 72 people that went down and participated in this firefight who lost their lives. Now, the three individuals, Phil Schneider being one, and two others who were imprisoned, he seemed to think and had some personal knowledge that one of these individuals was incarcerated in Canada. The other one, I understood, was incarcerated in a prison in Southern California. And despite the fact that I brought these facts out, they were refuted in a gentle, polite way. I was told that I would have an easier time proving that the Cape Girardeau crash of 1941 actually occurred, and that would be easier to prove than the Dulce base, or the fact that the Dulce base existed, which I found ludicrous and without substantiation. That argument doesn't hold water. And in fact, they removed all the data and all the evidence from the Cape Girardeau case, including redacted newspaper articles and obituaries in the local newspapers. So despite the forthcoming evidence of Charlotte Mann that case existed in Cape Girardeau, whose father, by the way, was William Huffington, a preacher who ministered at the Red Star Baptist Church, which was in Cape Girardeau. He described being taken on a roughly 15-minute ride in a limousine with blackened windows at high speed. And it so happened that the location that I found, and I had every indication that this was the right place, including talking to witnesses who were alive at that time. And the main property owner was the first house that I stopped at. The lady there did acknowledge that they were missing six calves when I asked her that, and she couldn't understand how they had been removed from the property when it had rained, which I had described in my assessment of the case. It rained cats and dogs, and the swale of land beside her driveway would have been flooded, and obviously someone would have left tracks. Well, flying saucers don't necessarily leave tracks, especially when they crash. And the people who had witnessed this event, including Reverend Huffington, were told things like, "You didn't see this, this didn't happen," and various allusions to, or let's say veiled threats were made to his family and to him, that if he told anyone, that would be the end of them. Huffington had a picture. The picture was loaned to a friend and disappeared. The picture was given to him by a friend, a photographer on the scene. And to sum up the investigation I did, I was told that the Jackson police, and that was the location I found, near Jackson, not near Cape Girardeau, the Jackson police were seen in the photos, in the original photos. So we know there was a crash in 1941, and the night that Linda Moulton Howe was on Coast to Coast, she was talking about a new witness that had come forward about Roswell. Well, Roswell, we've been told, has been crash dummies and weather balloons and let's throw in swamp gas just for good measure. And so that story has been obfuscated and concealed and spun ad nauseum by the Air Force and the military, under the direction of MJ-12, the Majestic 12 group, the secret think tank group, which was formed back at that time, to hide this. Now, Phil Schneider, moving forward, revealed firsthand knowledge of what was going on at the base. And despite the fact that I was told that I would have a difficult time proving this, The first caller on the second hour happened to be the wife of one of the participants that is jailed in Southern California. So I got my, I don't want to call it vengeance, but let's just say that my take on the whole story was corroborated by this lady who called in and said that she had actually seen the plans to go down into the base on her husband's desk the day before this occurred. To silence him, they have imprisoned him. Lord knows what they're doing to him, if he's being tortured or whatever, but it's unfair treatment for the activities of a corrupt government, not to mention the fact that we do know that there are aliens on the planet. They do exist. They have existed for thousands and thousands of years on this planet and slowly have taken over governments around the world. That's what this is about. This is why the revelations of Phil Schneider are so important, so crucial. And after all, the man gave up his life a year later. Now, they claim that this was a suicide. He had been struck with a beam weapon, which he describes as being something attached to a belt, and he received a high dosage of cobalt radiation that tore a hole through his chest, exposed his rib cage, basically blew his chest open, and miraculously he survived. If you could see the video of him holding the microphone with a hand missing two fingers, that in and of itself would show you that the man is telling the truth. There's no reason for someone to come out and relate such a story, as difficult and as incredible as it is to believe, other than to tell the truth. And he relates many other factors about concentration camps, about trains with shackles and guillotines. He describes this, and this is not the only source of this information, but he was one of the first to come out with it. And so in tribute to him and to honor the truth and to expose the truth and to give you a fair shot at making your own determinations, I'm going to continue the second half of the interview. Now, again, I repeat, the audio quality is not the best. It's not my doing, and it wasn't Phil Schneider's doing. It had to do with the equipment that was originally used to record this event. Now, before we start this, I would like to send out some kudos to some listeners and a special group that's always tuning in whenever they can. Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Crenshaw, Zachariah, Sheila, Sylvia, and Jill, and, of course, always the General. We want to thank you for your support and your unfailing loyalty to this show. We are attempting to bring you the truth. We don't have all the answers, but when we find them, we hope you can hear the ring of truth and what we reveal to you. And that's why we call this show Evident Footprints. And now I would like to continue with the second half of Phil Schneider's speech in Idaho from the year 1995.
Let's get on. Al Bailey is our second speaker. He worked in a very secretive government operation called the Philadelphia Experiment. Well, so did my father, by the way. I didn't know this until on his deathbed, and I now have the picture proof of it. Also, I have a picture of a supposed non-human alien called Val Thor that worked for the Pentagon. He still works for the Pentagon. In 58 years, he has not changed. He still looks young. Something's wrong. I don't know if he's doing it under duress or what, but evidently he's still there. Don't know what kind of alien he is. He's about a few inches shy of 8 feet tall. He's very bright. He's worked in the Department of Defense in the Pentagon for, I believe, 58 or 56 years, along with two figures. Don't tell me, folks, don't tell me, federal government, that this isn't so, that when we see something in the night sky that doesn't add up to an aircraft, that it's a weather balloon, or that we're mistaken, or I'm crazy, or we're crazy, because it's not. You've been lied to, you've been cheated, you've been stolen from, you've been cheated by your public officials, and I think it's time that we not only realize this, but it's time that other people form cells and start talking about this vigorously. If, say, only five people in this room are doing what I'm doing, I can't imagine, just five people have one talk in 1 year to a group of people like this. In 6 short months, we could reach 10 million people. That's a formidable number. But if I'm just the only one out there talking, it's never going to do. Right now, before the U.S. Senate, is an anti-terrorist bill. This anti-terrorist bill, by the way, is going to kill the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights by number one. Number one, it will take away, first of all, it will arm the federal government police force. First of all, I think the federal government's got enough police. There's 1,719,000 federal police officers in these United States. That is more that was in either Germany during World War II or Russia under Stalin and Beria. Now, the present moment in time, 7 weeks ago in Nellis Air Force Base, and a year and about a month ago, about 13 months ago, because I was there at that time, we entertained the United Nations and the Russians and showed them Area 51, which is supposed to be our most secret military base. What is going on, folks? Tell you what's going on. We're being sold down the river. We've got to do something about it, otherwise we will not see this country go on as the United States. And I don't think we'll see it go on for a year. I'm saying I don't believe I will see it go on as a country in 6 months at present. Because if the federal government has created the World Trade Center bombing and the bombing in Oklahoma City, which is extremely tragic because it killed probably 40 or 50 children. And by the way, I have absolutely no use for a person that hates children. Our Attorney General, Janet Reno, hates children. She hates men. She hates everything but maybe her own kind. And by the way, if anything is outer space alien, it's her. Well, Bill Clinton is just another big liar out there. But Janet Reno, I can't forgive her for what she's done. She's done more as a singular intergovernmental official to destroy this country than any other individual, believe, since the great traitor during the Revolutionary War. What was his name? I'm trying to think. What? Benedict Arnold, there we go. Probably find out she's probably just in relation of some sort. Now, what can we tell our government, trusted government officials? I know how rare those are. They're an endangered species. Well, they can first start by getting a bill going that requires all government officials to register. I mean, if they're going to ask us to register their our guns and our rights, they have to register their rights. They can register their rights and their guns and their legislative ability through one kind of referendum, number one being they can limit the amount of years that they're in office. If they cannot do this, by the way, if a contract with America, by the way, is really a contract, and all the politicians, or the Republicans, or Democrats, or whatever you want to call them, to me, that's just a label, they left one thing out of a contract. Say you buy a car or buy a house or buy something on time, and it's got 10 parts to the contract, and one is scratched out after you've signed the contract. By the way, it's null and void. You don't own anything. You may even be able to keep the property. By the way, contract with America is not only illegal, but it's asking us to change the bargain. The only damn people that, only damn things that change the bargain are the damn outer space aliens, et cetera, et cetera. And evil people. I think we can do better than this. Now, another thing we can do is require all politicians basically to accept no PAC money of any kind and accept no money from a salary, and that all government officials be basically put on kind of like a selective service. Everybody has to serve in some part of a government structure to some degree. And it's a voluntary thing, and if you've done right, you get paid for it. And if you're not done right, then there are other ways to make sure that you will be punished accordingly. We did these kind of things if we were prudent, if we thought everything out, because I'll tell you, the only thing that doesn't need changing in any way, shape, or form are the two pieces of paper, one the Bill of Rights and one the United States Constitution. Those two thin sheets of paper have kept us from totalitarian slavery, or worse, for over 200 years. And now they're being seriously threatened by a minority few people who want to reign over us, who want to kill us off, who want to cause us great bodily harm. You realize, in my field, I couldn't even, if I saw something wrong, and I did many times, I had no way to blow the whistle. That's not what our founding fathers taught us. That's not what they laid down in sacred writing, almost sacred writing, I might want to add. We can do better. If we are really the government, if we are really the militia, then we have to stand up and we have to make ourselves known that this will not be tolerated in any way, shape, or form, and it must cease and desist. And if we are challenged, then so be it. Then we are challenged. And I guess the actions of us will be rather forthright by judging from this crown. I'm laying down my life by talking about secret things, that I took an oath of secrecy that said that if I broke that oath of secrecy, I am guilty of espionage. I am called a traitor by my own government for blowing the whistle. That's not only a disgrace, but it's an outrage, and has ramifications on everyone in this room. And I think we can do better. Now, I've talked about a number of topics that are rather controversial. I don't think I've talked about too much about why we're being enslaved. If you remember, there's always been a nice convenient war. If it wasn't World War I, it was World War II. If it wasn't World War II, it was Korea. If it wasn't Korea, it was Vietnam. So it's been a convenient war. When we've gotten a little bit too smart, folks, there's been a war to wipe out the good people that would take over and run our country effectively. There's a lot of times where we're going to have to face some very serious consequences. Very short. What we call patriot movements in this country are being singled out for war crimes against humanity, and I happen to think there are a few people in these groups that are crazy, but I would say they're an extreme minority. probably less than 0.01% or 0.1/10,000 of the whole. Janet Reno has us believing that all of the people that are in patriot groups are responsible for inflaming the populace, for doing other crimes against humanity, like killing children, innocent children, regardless of race. The unspeakable thing that happened at Oklahoma City is a wake-up call. If we do nothing, if we decide to stuff our gut, say, well, I don't have to do anything today. I can watch this show on TV or that show on TV. I don't have to talk about all that Bill Schneider or Al Bielek or some other person talk, Bo Greitz or some other person talk about it. Let them do it. If we act this way, folks, we're not going to be around very long. If you got rights out there, you might as well start enjoying them like you've never enjoyed them before, because pretty soon we're not going to have them. We got the wonderful freedom of movement. Driving down the road, you don't have to show your ID, but slowly that's changing. There's legislation right now in the United States Congress. Any person that has worked for the federal government has to have special identification. It's illegal. It's an outrage. And I've already drawn the line, stamped and put my foot down, and I say, enough is enough. I've had enough. And I think we can do better. I know we can do better. So all I'm asking you, out of this entire group, how many hundred people there are, 150 or so? Five of us. Five small people gather together and start preaching the good things about America to whatever group size it is, as long as it's more than yourself. Try a group of, say, 10 or 15. I think most of us have 10 or 15 people we know, friends, whatnot. If 10 people did it in this room, we'd reach double that figure. We'd reach 20 million or more countrywide. What do we have to do? We have to stockpile weapons and all these other kinds of things. Trouble is with revolutions, they always end up killing the wrong people. Unfortunately, it's starting to look like that might have to be the only scenario to get these parasites off our back. And I'm telling you folks, they are parasites of the first water. They're only out for their own self-gain. And by they, I'm talking about your government officials. Not all. There are some that are good. There are some that are honest. There are some that are forthright, that love God, and love the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and other wonderful works by our founding fathers. But they're few and far between. In House of Representatives, the United States Senate, there is not one politician that is not an attorney. There is something wrong there, folks. During Abraham Lincoln's time, I know that's a long time ago, 130 years ago, roughly, it was an honor beyond medals and glory to serve in the United States Senate or in the House of Representatives. And there was actually only about 8 total senators and House of Representatives people that were attorneys. The rest of them were common folk like you and like me. But we've been led down the wrong path, folks. If we sit here and do nothing, we're not going to have any freedom. And it's not going to take very long. At this rate of speed, the way things are going, what's going to be the next scenario? Is it going to be another bombing somewhere? First it was a Trade Center bombing in New York City. Then it was middle, homegrown America killing children and innocent people on their way to work, whatnot, elderly people and Social Security office and whatnot. How come the AARP isn't talking about the 61 older people that bit the dust in the Social Security office and the other federal government that was seeking? Some were in the Internal Revenue Service and other kinds of... By the way, that's another thing. The IRS, there's nothing legal about the IRS at all. By the way, do you realize... I was reading the Oregonian newspaper 10 days ago. President Clinton has authorized the U.S. Mint to print the new money. They've already printed about $3 billion of it. You travel overseas, you get this pink-looking thing with a picture of a president on it, and a similar thing that the insignia is a little off-center, done that way. On either side of this bill is a UPC stripe. No, sir. I don't believe in having the mark in my hand or in my forehead like the Bible taught me. But it's coming, folks, if we do nothing. It's coming as sure as I'm standing here telling it to you. And it's probably going to be here in less than 2 years. We do nothing. And this is an, I'm actually downplaying it. It could be a lot sooner. Better government right now with their high tech has invented an earthquake device. I have reason to believe that the earthquake in Kobe, Japan, by the way, I'm a geologist. I know exactly what I'm talking about. There was no pulse in the pulse wave. There's supposed to be a pulse wave in any earthquake. There was none in the Kobe, Japan earthquake. None. In 1989, in and around San Francisco, there was an earthquake. There was no pulse or pulse wave. That is a Tesla device. Nikola Tesla invented it, and he did it not out of evil, but he was trying to make a device that could be accurately used for construction and the building of buildings and that kind of thing. It's been taken for evil, though. Guaranteed. I want you to know that the black budget programs throughout these United States have subverted science as we know it. What's AIDS, for instance? I'll tell you what AIDS is. AIDS was invented by the National Ordnance Laboratory in Chicago, Illinois, in 1972. It was a biological weapon to use against the people of these United States. The reason I know this, I have seen the documentation by the Office of Strategic Services, which, by the way, is still in operation to this day, through the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia. They used the glandular excretions of animals, as well as humans, as well as outer space aliens. I'll tell you something about these outer space aliens. They're mortal. They can be shot dead just like you and I can, but I'll tell you one thing. They are bad news in the worst order. We have absolutely no defense against their germs. None. They're a biological weapon of terrible consequence. I advocate that every alien on this planet, good or bad, if they're good they have, or bad, they have to be isolated. They are a biological weapon. Saddam Hussein and other people have killed 3.5 million Kurdish people with a similar biological weapon. Do we, the people of this planet, deserve this? No, we don't. But we're not doing anything about it. And every moment that we waste, every moment that we don't blurt out and we say we've had enough, that we deserve better, that we're going to get better, we're doing other people on this planet, in different countries, a great disservice. Right now, I'm dying of cancer related to work that I did to the federal government. I might live 6 months. I might not. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. If I keep speaking out the way I am, maybe God will give me the life to talk my head off. I will break every law that it takes to talk my head off. I love my country and its people more than my life. 11 of my best friends in the last 22 years have been murdered. 8 of them called suicide. I finally got wind of one of them. Portland police is now involved in one of them. Not going to mention names, for a grand jury, including the medical examiner's office. Murder by suicide, they call it. My friend Ronald Lee Rummel is an Air Force officer. He's a Silver Star winner. He's a patriot. Murdered. Because he started speaking out about unidentified flying objects while being still employed as a member of the United States Air Force. Now was he murdered? He was drugged. His jaw was broken open. A cheap pistol with filed off numbers called a Jennings J-22 was shoved in his hand. Somebody pulled the trigger because they found a piece of a fingerprint or inside of a palm print on the weapon. I also found hair samples, somebody quickly putting the bullets into the clip. That man saved my life. That man had a family of 5 children. That man was a great person. There's a good chance that when I fly back to Vegas, I have to drive home. I left my car down in Vegas. I'd drive home alone. I'm scared to hell. Before I went to talk in Las Vegas, Nevada, I drove a friend of mine, a disabled friend of mine, down to Joshua Tree. And 29 Palms is next to Joshua Tree, and I went to see a dying veteran, disabled veteran friend of mine also. Kind of an acquaintance friend. I don't see him very often. Can hardly talk. He's got throat cancer from working with atomic weapons. Federal government didn't want to pay for it, so he married a nurse whose father has donated enough money to keep him alive for a little longer. After seeing these two people, I drove up over the mountains. I had to drive over around the mountains and up into them to get to Needles, California. It was followed by 2 government vans, E-350 vans with G-14 plates, each with a couple of occupants apiece. One had an Uzi ready and was loaded because I could see it through one of the windows. They zoomed by. I knew exactly what they were. I've already spoken out. I've spoken in 19 talks to present. I've probably reached 45,000 people. Well, they sped up around me. I sped up around them, took a bunch of pictures with a high-speed camera. Then they caught up to me, and it looked like they were trying to force me off the road. I have a Ford Taurus sedan. But what they don't know about that Ford Taurus sedan's got a police interceptor motor. It's got an 8-liter motor. It'll do 140 in the shade. So I got up above them, and I come to a screeching halt right in the middle of the road. And the road was just wide enough for my car and maybe a foot on either side. There was a deep ravine to the left. There was a shallow ravine about 9 or 10, I guess, roughly 9 feet deep, 10 feet deep. Something like that. On the other side, One skidded over, rolled over in the right ditch. One went over to the left ditch, just rolled all the way down. I could hear a bunch of cries for help and crackling and glass, and finally I didn't hear anything. Is this what it's going to take? 2 weeks ago, I had a man come to my Wilsonville apartment, going to arrest me. By the way, I have a Rhyolite 38 clearance. I don't know if you know what that means. I only report to three individuals with that clearance. President of the United States, head of the CIA, and or a base commander. No one else. This man came to arrest me. He called the sheriff. So I can't open the door to you. Open the door, well, we'll beat it in. I said, if you beat it in, you're at risk of your life. Are you threatening me? Yes, sir, I'm threatening you. I'm going to call the sheriff right now and have you removed. You're threatening my life. Called the sheriff. Sheriff came. Clackamas County Sheriff car came. Pulled right behind him. I know this man very well. I would trust him with my life after what he did. He risked his job. He risked a 22-year career with the police department. He went right behind this guy, preventing him from getting out. He threw a bullhorn. He says, you are under arrest. Please come with me. I'll escort you out. He was escorted out in handcuffs to his disgrace. Sheriffs have a lot of power in this country. They can arrest FBI, CIA, DIA, and the like. It's a very good thing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here talking to you. Now, I want to end this talk by mentioning we all know what the Patriot Movement stands for. Every one of us loves America. Most of us love America more than our life. Most of us are willing to defend it as we have defended it before. And we'll defend it again and again and again for how many times it takes until we get the objective done. I would like to believe I'm a patriot. I'm no longer employed by the federal government. Took a pair of scissors and cut up my security card, and I mailed it back to the SOBs, pardon my French. I wrote a detailed letter and said, my life is threatened in any way, shape, or form. I did this. It's already been threatened. I will consider downloading 140,000 pages of information sensitive to the New World Order, Strategic Defense Initiative, and what it really stands for, and the federal government structure as a whole. I've already begun to do this through the InfoNet and the Internet worldwide. I spent $78,000 getting these kind of pictures away from the federal government after my father willed them to me. You know, it's a will. There all they are, a piece of paper with a few revealing notes on them. Stanley, Val Thoris is this particular character right here. Right here. He hasn't changed a bit in 58 years thereabouts. I have over 7,000 pictures. I have detailed files and writings. I have alien artifacts and metals. You're only looking at half a dozen of maybe 7,000 that I have. I feel you people have to know the truth as best as I could tell. Thank you very much. I want to mention, if you want to look at these artifacts, try not to handle them, just look at them.
And that was the late Phil Schneider. You are listening to Evident Footprints. I'm Don Nikoloff, your host, and I apologize for the quality of the audio. Hopefully, you could hear with some clarity the message that was there. This man gave his life for our country, and really, he gave his life to the whole world. These revelations are not to be taken lightly. There are others, such as myself and many other researchers around the world, who are diligently working to bring the truth about these matters, these issues, to the public. We see representations of this in the media, in the movies. Of course, we're scoffed at when we talk about it. Consider the fact that this man risked his life and gave up his life to bring this message. And I wonder how many out there, how many listeners have the same courage in the face of cancer, in the face of having had your chest blown open by a beam weapon. And I have to add, the other injuries he had were throughout his body. It wasn't just his chest and the missing fingers. He had alluded several times, even during this talk, that he had some injuries to his legs as well. How many of us could go on and tolerate the pain and the anguish and confront the fact that you would probably die in a short period of time? Many of the statements he made regarding the World Trade Center, by the way, had to do with the bombings that occurred back in the early 90s. I think the most recent one prior to 9/11 was in 1993. He alluded to the fact that even then there were anomalies with the lower levels of the structure. That, in his words, the rebar, which is the metal used to help or assist in maintaining the shape of the concrete and its integrity, had extruded 6 feet beyond its original shape. These types of anomalies do not occur unless we have very extraneous circumstances, such as nuclear weapons, which he astutely pointed out. His qualifications to make such determinations were directly related to his job with the government in the building of these bases, and the information he brought out about Nikola Tesla also was very accurate. Tesla had a small device, probably the size of a pack of cigarettes, that had created an earthquake in New York City when he had his lab on 8th Street, and the police very well knew that he would be the most likely culprit behind the shaking ground and the rattling and the noise. Tesla took that device and smashed it with a sledgehammer. Of course, I have reported in my writings, as well as others, that Tesla's work had been stolen, been given to the Nazis, probably given to all the technologically oriented governments, including the Soviet Union, China, and anyone else. England, I'm sure, had their hand in this as well. And then our government, in a feeble attempt to mislead us and misdirect us, created a whole series of documents purportedly claiming that certain people were trying to get their hands on some of Tesla's patents, some of his lab work, his drawings. And on Evident Footprints, I've had Jim Murray talk at great length about the missing blue notebook and the fact that certain people that were suspected to have had this notebook in their possession could have been directly or indirectly related to the murder of Nikola Tesla. Many of the scientific advancements that Tesla brought to mankind were turned about 180 degrees to be used against mankind. The scalar weapons that we have now, although some of these technologies used to create these weapons are alien in origin, many are based in the research of Nikola Tesla. Tesla himself probably felt that he was from another planet, and it's quite possible that he was. But to paint anyone who raises an issue about this evil presence on our planet as a madman or a wacko or a nutcase just shows how desperate they are to cover this up. How do you attack the message? How do they attack the message? By attacking the messenger. Phil Schneider was attacked and paid with his life. But many of the things he alluded to make him look like a prophet. Now, he may have been wrong about the official declaration of the New World Order, yet the things he was privy to and the things that we're witnessing even today here in 2008 show him to be somewhat of a prophet. And he's correct in his assertions about the IRS. He's correct in his assertions about the stolen money or the embezzled money or the laundered money. He alluded to Bill Clinton releasing $3 billion of a new currency. He talked about UPC codes, this recent revelations of the RFID chip were known to him back in 1995. He alluded to that. Didn't call it the RFID chip, but he knew about the technologies that were being used. He talked about SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, which we're told is to protect us from a rogue government attacking us with nuclear weapons. When in reality, these weapons, which are in space now, are aimed outward at incoming traffic. Now, Phil Schneider made a comment about aliens, and my personal opinion is that he was talking about the ones that are attempting to take over this planet completely and enslave anyone that survives the takeover. He referred to them as evil, and I would say if you consider yourself a good person, there's a very strong likelihood that there are others. There are other societies out there in the universe, in our own solar system, in our own galaxy, that watch the madness that takes place on this planet and have trouble understanding how people that can claim that they know God can treat each other the way we are treated. How those that would profess to be leaders could be murderers. What was interesting about Phil Schneider's comments is his numerous references to God and the Bible. One can tell just by his spirit that he was a man of God. That's not to be taken lightly. He told us what we must do. And so with that comes a responsibility, and I talk about responsibility on this show quite a bit. Our personal responsibility. Our personal responsibility to ourselves and then to each other, and recognizing that we are all children of God, even those among us who would murder. Jesus spoke about forgiveness. And believe me, I have a hard time forgiving those that murder children or that abduct children or that sacrifice children or women or men or adults. the mind control programs, the experimentation, the pharmaceuticals, the oil cartel, the military-industrial complex? Can we not see that there is something wrong on this planet? And can we not see that we have the power within us to change it, to set things straight, to make things right? Time and again, I've mentioned the fact that those that bring the truth are the first to be attacked. They must be silenced, as if murdering them is going to stop the truth. The truth is out there, and the truth is constantly arriving here. Most of us are too numb, or too asleep, or too drugged, or too brainwashed to see it. And it smacks you in, upside the head with the force of a sledgehammer, and you still remain silent. Now, my intention is not to insult listeners. That's not what this is about. This is about waking people up. This is about coming to a realization about life, not just here on this planet, but life in eternity. Where you're going to spend your eternity is going to have everything to do with what you do from this point onward. I felt it important to share Phil Schneider's speech. I wish I had the other 19 that he referred to, and I do have one other speech, the last one that he made in Colorado. It was very revealing because he showed maps and he showed locations and he had quite a few pictures. If you could see this video, you would be amazed at the clarity of the photographs. Unfortunately, because of the reproductive quality of this, it's not made available in the quality that we're used to these days. But again, I redirect your thoughts to the message. He was a prophet in many ways. He prophesied about his demise. He prophesied about our country's demise, if we do nothing about it. And I'll tell you, it resonates, his message resonates within me to the core of my being. Enough is enough, and I've had enough. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. Thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to listen tomorrow night. My special guest will be Michael Anthony, and on Friday, Jim Murray, author and scientist, inventor. In the meantime, I wish you peace, love, and light, and a good night.
Hi, this is Niles McClower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m.
Hi, this is independent producer-composer Nelson Ortiz. Looking to get away from the same old stuff you hear every day? Get a fresh new sound?